Welcome to the Deep Dive. We cut through the noise, bring you the essentials. Today, we're plunging into something huge, a really pervasive threat, data breaches. And we're looking at this landmark study, really quite amazing, analyzing 141 million compromised files. It's massive.
Yeah, it really is. And our mission today for this deep dive is to unpack what really matters from this huge piece of research. Because what makes this study so different, so groundbreaking, is that it didn't just look at the usual database stuff. It went into unstructured files, you know, the everyday documents, emails, that kind of thing. And honestly, this revealed some genuinely eye-opening, almost, well, alarming truths about what criminals are really hunting for.
Unstructured files, that's a big shift. So, okay, can you give us a sense of just the sheer scale here? What did this look into unstructured data actually uncover?
Well, the raw numbers are pretty staggering. We're talking 141,168,340 individual records. And critically, this wasn't just one big leak. It was across 12,297 separate ransomware and data breach events. But the key difference, as I said, is diving into the content, the actual stuff inside the files, not just, you know, lists of usernames and passwords.
Right. So it's less about the breached login and more about what documents were actually taken and what's inside them. Why does looking at these unstructured files like Word docs, PDFs, emails paint a much scarier picture than just looking at database dumps?
Because it just shows the sheer breadth of sensitive stuff that isn't neatly filed away in a database cell.
Mm.
I mean, inside these files, researchers found everything, financial documents, really personal ID data, and maybe the most alarming thing, cryptographic security keys, just lying there in some files. It really shows the attack surface is, well, wider and frankly more insidious than maybe we thought.
Okay, wow. So with all that data flying around, what's the main target? What's the digital gold criminals are really after in these unstructured files?
Oh, without a doubt, it's financial information. That really seems to be the crown jewel. The study found financial docs in, get this, 93% of all the incidents they analyzed. And that represented something like 41% of all the compromised files. A huge chunk.
93%. That's almost everything.
Pretty much. And we're talking specifics, too. Bank statements showed up in nearly half of all the breaches. And things like international bank account numbers, IBANs, they were found in over a third of the data sets.
So for you, our listener, this isn't just about someone maybe stealing your identity in the abstract. This level of detail lets criminals pull off really sophisticated scams. Fraudulent transactions, sure, but also social engineering. Imagine someone calling you, knowing detailed transaction history that makes phishing attacks incredibly convincing, right? Much more dangerous.
Exactly. And it wasn't just financial data either. The investigation also found personal information was compromised in 4 out of 5 security incidents. So 80%.
4 out of 5. Okay, that's massive too. But was there anything surprising about where this personal data was coming from? Like, were there unexpected vulnerabilities?
Yes, absolutely. This was really interesting. A huge chunk, 67% actually, of this compromised personal data came from customer service interactions.
Customer service? You mean like emails back and forth, chat logs?
Precisely. Your support tickets, your chat transcripts, simple emails confirming details. These soft targets in routine business communication. They're now major ways critical data gets leaked. It shifts the focus, you know. Not just system hacks, but vulnerabilities in how we communicate. Oh, and another point, 51% of incidents exposed emails that actually contained U.S. Social Security numbers, just sitting in emails.
Wow. So that quick email to confirm a delivery address or resolve an issue that could be the weak link really changes how you think about customer service, doesn't it?
It really does. Mm-hmm. And the Social Security number thing, that's particularly bad.
Yeah.
Because unlike a password, you can't change your SSN, right? It's static. It's a key identifier for so many things. Once that number is out there, the risk is permanent. It's out for good.
Okay, the financial and personal data stuff is stark. But you mentioned something even more alarming earlier. What stood out as maybe unprecedented?
Yeah, I think for me, the discovery of cryptographic keys in 18% of all the analyzed breaches, that's perhaps the most deeply concerning finding.
Yeah.
These keys, I mean, they're fundamental. They underpin modern cybersecurity, encrypted communication, secure logins, authentication systems. They rely on these keys.
Right. So if a key gets compromised, it's not like just needing to change a password, is it? You said it requires rebuilding. Why is it so drastic?
That's a good way to put it. It's like, it's not just that someone picked the lock on one door. It's like they got the master key or even the blueprints for all the locks in the building. Compromising a cryptographic key lets attackers bypass entire layers of established security. It just renders them useless. So yeah, often it forces a complete system rebuild. Not just a patch. It's a fundamental breakdown of trust in the security infrastructure itself.
That's sobering. And it makes you wonder, how are the attackers evolving, especially these ransomware groups we hear so much about? Are their tactics changing too?
Oh, definitely. We're seeing a really significant tactical shift. Ransomware groups are increasingly focusing on data extortion, not just encryption.
Meaning they steal the data first, then threaten to release it rather than just locking your files?
Exactly. They steal your sensitive information and then threaten to leak it publicly if you don't comply. It adds this whole other layer of pressure. And the data backs this up. We saw something like 146% year-over-year increase in blocked ransomware attempts. So they're trying more often. And maybe more importantly, a 92% increase in actual data exfiltration data being stolen by the major ransomware groups just in the past year. So organizations now face this double whammy. Their systems might be locked, and their sensitive data is out there ready to be leaked.
So beyond the obvious financial and personal stuff, any other sort of less expected data types showing up consistently?
Yeah, actually, code files. The analysis found that actual software code accounted for about 17% of all the exposed data.
Code files. Okay, for companies built on software, innovation. That sounds like a nightmare. What are the real implications there? Intellectual property theft.
It's a huge threat to their core value. Exposed source code can literally hand over proprietary algorithms to competitors. It can also reveal hidden security flaws within the software that other attackers can then exploit. And, you know, it essentially compromises potentially years of research and development investment for tech companies, software companies. It can be absolutely devastating.
And criminals aren't just stealing data. They're getting smarter about using it, right?
Yeah.
You hear about AI. How is that playing into this? Is it like they have AI assistance now?
That's not a bad analogy, actually. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the reality is pretty concerning. Cyber criminals are actively using AI and machine learning tools. These tools let them sift through those massive piles of stolen data incredibly efficiently. They can pinpoint the most valuable information they do, the financial details, the credentials, the keys much faster. And then they can use AI to craft much more targeted, much more convincing attacks, like those personalized phishing emails we talked about. So technology is making these breaches, well, more profitable and more dangerous for the attackers. They can be more precise, more efficient.
Okay, this is a lot. Given how pervasive this is, especially with sensitive data hiding in everyday files, what do organizations really need to do differently? What are the critical, maybe less obvious steps?
Well, the big takeaway is that security can't just be about the perimeter anymore. It has to be about the data itself, wherever it lives.
Yeah.
So organizations absolutely need robust data classification systems. And not just for databases, but for all files. Knowing what's sensitive is step one. Then encrypting those sensitive files, both when they're just sitting on a server at rest and when they're being sent over the network in transit. That's crucial.
Classification, encryption, what else?
Monitoring. Comprehensive monitoring for any unusual access patterns, especially for those unstructured file shares. Who's accessing what, and does it look normal? Regular security assessments are key, but they need to include detailed inventories. Where is all this sensitive data, particularly in documents and emails? You can't protect what you don't know you have. And definitely, strict access controls and specific monitoring for those cryptographic keys we mentioned. They need special protection. But honestly, perhaps one of the most vital things is comprehensive employee training, making sure everyone understands the risks involved in just everyday email, or how easily sensitive data can end up saved in a simple Word doc or spreadsheet, addressing those human interaction vulnerabilities.
That makes sense. It sounds like a complex undertaking, though.
It can be. And that's where, you know, professional cybersecurity services can really help. They have the expertise to do those deep data audits, implement the right encryption and monitoring tools, provide effective training, and conduct those regular assessments needed to keep up with these evolving threats.
What a deep dive indeed. We've really covered some ground, the sheer amount of financial and personal data out there, the critical danger from compromised crypto keys, the way ransomware tactics are shifting towards extortion, and now how AI is making attacks even sharper.
It really has. And it leaves us, and you listening, with a pretty important question to chew on, doesn't it? If so much of our critical sensitive data now lives in these ordinary, unstructured files, in just routine communications, how do we find that balance? The balance between the ease and convenience of collaboration we all rely on and the absolute necessity of keeping that information secure in our daily digital lives.
A really powerful thought to end on. Thank you so much for walking us through that. And thank you for joining us on the deep dive. Stay informed, stay secure, and keep exploring this critical, complex world of cybersecurity.